radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
NBA trade deadline less than an hour away. Nothing new on the Rockets front. The move that they made yesterday, the only one, where they got Jaden Springer from Boston for nothing. He's a Ime Udoka disciple. Even if he perhaps has never played for Ime Udoka, I think he is exactly the kind of player that Udoka would want. But how much he'll play, we'll see. Rockets do play the Timberwolves tonight. Going to be intriguing to see what happens in that game as well. So, going into the commercial break, I said that the Chiefs, they haven't even overcome the Patriots dynasty. They haven't even overcome the Astros dynasty. Here's why I say that. The Chiefs have to prove that they can win a championship when they are embroiled in scandal. Mm. Now, this is a little different than the Patriots and the Astros, where there were, at the very least, smoking guns with Spygate, Deflategate, and Trash Can Gate. But right now, everyone thinks that the Chiefs have bought off the league. And every player on the team, every coach on the team this week, has been asked a whole damn lot about the idea that referees are impacting the outcome of these games. These are a couple of those very annoying interviews done at Radio Row by a guy from Boston Sports Radio. I believe this is Rich Schertenlieb. Here he is asking a very important question to Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick, for your whole career, you have had so many great people help you win. So who is your favorite ref?
No, all the refs are great, man. All the refs are great. They do the best they can. And go out there and play the game the right way.
Is there one that you give a Christmas card to every year, possibly?
Not that I can remember. I'll have to talk to some of my teammates and kind of figure it out.
Okay. Well, I'll just give a very political answer there. I'll give him credit. That's hilarious.
Ha ha. He could have like gotten very, very... They get asked a lot of bad questions, so I could assume like him be very, very annoyed with that. He handled that well, actually. I give him a little bit of credit.
As someone who's gone to the media night three times for the three Super Bowls I went to, even though the people that were there played for my favorite team growing up, including Tom Brady, every single time I went to those things, I wanted to off myself. I'm quoting Rick Pitino here, but every single time, like, I just thought to myself, damn, I suck. Here I am, like, standing in a circle, shouting, hoping that I can get a stupid question I have answered, which almost always was a question about the Houston Texans. I asked Dave Portnoy once, hey, if you were giving the Texans a pizza review, what would you give them? Not kidding.
6.2.
I don't even remember the number. I don't think it was very high. But it was with Deshaun Watson, his first year under center. They made the playoffs and they lost to the Colts that year. I've asked all sorts of like questions. And then after the fact, I thought to myself, damn, this sucks. So at least this guy's going out there and screwing around a little bit. But it's a sucky experience, and it probably sucks even more for the players. Won't go so far as to say, like Dennis Schroeder, it's modern-day slavery. And yeah, I will keep on beating that horse to death because it's insane that that guy said that. But those players have to sit there for basically an hour just taking ridiculous questions. And honestly, the only time that it's ever had anything happen that's, I think, noteworthy is when Marshawn Lynch sat there for a very long time and I think just kept on saying, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I liked when Brady cried.
Well,
about his dad?
Yeah, it hit home. I liked that one. That's all I really remember besides that. That and Marshawn.
Yeah, it's rough. But to bring it back to the Chiefs, and to bring it back to what the Chiefs have to do, which is prove that they can win in the midst of scandal. Travis Kelce got asked the same question by that Boston sports radio host.
Travis, what do you love more, Taylor Swift or Phantom 15-yard roughing the passer penalties in the playoffs?
It's a good question. Anybody else?
Travis.
That's all he got.
It's a good question. Anybody else?
I mean, the Chiefs are handling it well, but you got to know on the inside, they're probably thinking to themselves, damn, have we accomplished anything at all? You know, that self-doubt, that self-loathing. Everyone across
the United States of America outside of Kansas City. I say everyone with a little bit of an asterisk next to it.
Large portion.
But these people hate the Chiefs. And they want to find any reason to pull the rug out from underneath them.
Yeah, they want to find anything they can to not to...
To not give them credit.
Yeah.
To question just how much they've accomplished. And let's be honest. Until they win a championship and overcome this, they haven't done as much as the Houston Astros did.
Now, maybe it's happening. We just don't know it. It is a tinfoil hat Thursday.
What do you mean?
Well, maybe they're cheating. We just don't know it yet. We didn't know the trash cans existed in 2017.
A lot of people do think that.
Where's Jalen Carter at? He hasn't talked to the media in 2 days. Have they poisoned him?
Whoa.
They're not a McCaskey family. Yeah,
food poisoning?
Let's not make accusations like that.
Are they giving Jalen Carter food poisoning? No one's seen him in 2 days.
Getting a bad pizza like Jordan?
Yeah.
Give him a blanket like it's the 1800s and they're trying to reclaim stolen land? What? Just asking questions. We're going along the same lines as Joe here.
I don't like that in light of what their team mascot is. I don't like that comparison.
I think it's the perfect crime. It's the perfect vengeance. A perfect return. Look, ultimately, they got to prove that they could win with everyone looking at them with the side eye thinking the league's rigged for them. It won't be as difficult as the Patriots overcoming Spygate to go 16-0, but ultimately losing the Super Bowl, or as difficult as the Patriots having to deal with the Deflategate bull crap for the entirety of that week leading up to Super Bowl 49, where they beat the Seahawks. Because that was the story of that week.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so dumb. Ugh.
It's been really the complete opposite of what this Super Bowl week has been, where like there hasn't really been a ton of giant storylines from this week's Super Bowl, where that week, that exasperated sigh, and that was so annoying. So true. Because I wasn't even working. I was still in college when that happened. I was like, this is not fun at all. I like it when it's like a fun build up or like some weird storyline. I don't like the like, well, you know, of noble gas laws and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Blah.
This was my first year doing radio shows with Brian Straw over at the flagship. And we were there and we didn't really touch on it that much. I think people wanted us to, but we were both like, yeah, they beat the Colts like 50-10. Like, yeah. They ran the ball. It wasn't even throwing the football that won that game. So that's what my sentiment was. But they overcame. It was distracting. They overcame that and they won.
Yeah.
This is a much, much different thing what the Chiefs are dealing with. But there are a lot of people questioning them, asking questions like this, wondering if anything they've accomplished is real. And people were saying the same thing about the Astros until they finally were able to get that second World Series. So, I mean, we're talking 3 years until they finally got that second one.
If the Chiefs, like, if anything happens in this game, it's going to be the number one, like, national talking point on Monday. And the referees, their union can put out whatever statements they want, like, people are going to believe the conspiracy theory if anything goes in the Chiefs' favor this weekend. Honestly, this whole like lead up to the Super Bowl feels so boring.
Yeah.
In general, like,
do you think that the numbers will be down? Ticket prices have gone down. Now you can. Now they're more affordable. They've gone from $5,000 to $4,000.
Oh, it's
for the nosebleeds.
Oh, then you know what?
It's driving distance.
Yeah. You want to drive?
Yeah, just 5 hours.
You got eight grand? Because I don't. I don't got four, so I'll drive.
That's fine. Yeah, okay, you'll drive.
I don't have a grand. So what are you doing here?
A grand.
Yeah, I just need one. What are we talking about here?
I think the ratings might be down for this one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, down, like, what are we talking about? Exactly. Down. Like, just not the most watched Super Bowl of all time? Because that's Chiefs, basically what down
but
Super
then again,
Bowl
the Chiefs' are. Numbers have been huge in the playoffs because they're now at the point where now people are hate-watching.
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs Bills broke records.
Yeah. Texans Chiefs did huge numbers.
It did, and it was the Texans for God's sake.
Was it ESPN's
biggest game ever on ESPN?
Yeah, so
and people are hate watching.
Yeah, this always happens with dynasties. People say that they hate dynasties, and more people watch dynasties than anything else.
Yes.
Whether it's the Warriors, whether it's the Heat, whether it's the Lakers, whether it's the Yankees, whether it's the Astros, whether it's the Chiefs, like
when people
Patriots,
say,
like it always happens.
It's like people who say the Dodgers are now bad for baseball. You're so wrong.
No, could not be more
it's actually
wrong.
Like no one else might win for the next 3 years, but you know what people are going to do? They're going to hate watch every out of the World Series.
Correct.
Now,
yeah,
hoping the Dodgers lose.
Rangers Diamondbacks is what's bad for baseball.
Yeah.
If the Dodgers make every World Series, that's good.
Yeah, I did watch the end of it as much as I said I wasn't going to watch Dodgers Yankees. I did watch the end of it as much as I.
I watched that hilarious inning where the Yankees puked
awesome.
All over the
place. That was great to see at the very least the Yankees screw themselves over. But anyway, yeah, it's a tinfoil hat Thursday, and my tinfoil hat theory that I kind of believe. I mean, the Chiefs, if they want to be viewed in the same way that we look at the Houston Astros and their run, they have to win a title while dealing with haters and doubters questioning their integrity. Patriots have done it. If the Chiefs do it, I think this actually gives them a credible argument as the best dynasty ever. But they have to overcome adversity. And I mean, this is a very low level of adversity. Still, yeah. People are doubting them.
Paul, I want you to know I'm always going to be Team Patriots here. Just so you know.
Thank you.
Patriots over Chiefs.
The thing is, they have the 20 years thing. But what they're doing from, like, I can't even deny
Brady 2-0.
Well, that's Brady Mahomes.
Against Mahomes.
Yeah.
Brady and the
Patriots are 1-0 against
Brady versus Mahomes. Brady versus Mahomes, I still think Brady holds the upper hand.
Yeah. But he won head-to-head.
Patriots dynasty versus Chiefs dynasty, there was a long stretch where the Patriots did not win Super Bowls. Yeah. And we're already at, what, 3 Super Bowl wins and 4 appearances for Patrick Mahomes?
That's true.
And, I mean, Brady did make it to 3 in a row, but it was a different vibe going into the third one because he had lost the second one.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm gonna hold the a college football playoff committee. I'm gonna use the head to head here. Tom Brady and
the head to head's big, but
they beat the Chiefs.
But if we're talking about the actual Chiefs themselves, like if they win this, it's better than any. It would be 4 Super Bowls in 5 years.
Yeah, that's
you know we're talking 49ers in the 80s and Steelers in the 70s, and I mean it stands to reason that that's going to continue. Where with those two teams, it had a bit of a shelf life. Even if the 49ers won another one a couple of years later in the 90s and stuff. Anyway, he's Joe. I'm Paul. We got Sean behind the glasses. Galan and George. ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. Up next, are you at all concerned that the Houston Texans have practically had zero turnover on their coaching staff going into next year? You get to answer that. We'll also keep you posted on the NBA trade deadline. Stick around.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
NBA trade deadline about 40 minutes away. Nothing new on the Houston Rockets front. Really the big news of the last 24 hours, Jimmy Butler from the Ball got traded to the Golden State Warriors. There was a 3-team trade that might have sent Butler to Phoenix and Kevin Durant to Golden State, but ultimately that didn't happen. So anything new happens, we'll keep you posted. It does seem like the Rockets, though, are going to be as constructed heading into tonight's game against Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Bobby Slowick is out as Texans offensive coordinator. Nick Caley, the former Rams passing game coordinator and tight end coach, is their new offensive coordinator. And after that, the Texans coaching staff, for the most part, is the same. Chris Strausser, he is no longer the offensive line coach. Cole Popovich has been promoted from assistant offensive line coach to the actual offensive line coach and run game coordinator. Gerard Johnson is staying on as quarterback coach. He does not get that offensive coordinator gig. After that, barring anyone getting hired by the Philadelphia Eagles or Kansas City Chiefs after potential changes after Sunday, that's it. Is that enough? Given how disappointing, especially the offense was last year, it seems like they're putting an awful lot on Nick Caley to get the most out of an offense that underachieved.
Yeah, and they hired Jerry... Shaplinsky, he was Tom Brady's quarterback coach with the Pats as well. So
some Patriot guys.
I don't know, man. This is an interesting direction that they're going because it feels like one of two things is happening to me. They are all in and all in agreement that Strowser and Bobby were the only problem, which I think is a narrow view. But to bring back everybody except for a new OC and a senior offensive assistant seems to me very short-sighted.
Cole Popovich, I think, is there entirely because of that, based off of what I've heard. Because I think Popovich was someone who did not like the way things were being run by specifically Bobby Slowick. And look, there's lots of things to point at with Bobby Slowick and wonder about his ability to lead, in addition to his actual knowledge of the Shanahan offense, how to best utilize it. But this is largely the same group. I've seen some wonder why Gerard Johnson didn't get promoted while Cole Popovich did. I think that's a fair question to ask. I think it was Sarge who threw that out there. Yeah, that's totally fair to wonder, why is it that he moves up? Is it entirely because he didn't like Bobby Slowick? And Gerard Johnson's in the same spot when Nick Haley has never called plays before either as offensive coordinator.
It makes me just wonder about the role of who's in charge here. And it feels to me that this looks ran by your general manager, not by your head coach. You bring in Nick Haley, who was with the Patriots. You keep Cole Popovich, who was there with Haley, with the Patriots. You bring in Szaplinski, who was there with the Patriots.
Todd, the show said
Patriots.
Todd, the show said Patriots South on the Twitch.
It's just a different version
of Patriots South, though. It's Patriots South 2, the legend of Curly's Gold.
And this is like, this is not promoting the head coach. So I do think it's a little bit different. Like, I don't know what the track record of promoting, assistant coaches to OCs and DCs across the NFL was. We mostly just saw the head coaches fail. Those are the ones we focus in on. But it just feels like, I don't know why D'Amico would make all these hires. It just seems strange to me. Like, so I don't think D'Amico's making these decisions here.
Who's making them?
Nick Caserio. How would D'Amico, I don't know, to hire three guys basically from the Patriots to not promote Gerard Johnson? I think he fired Bobby, but maybe he felt more confident in letting Nick Caserio be part of this.
I bet D'Amico was pressured by Nick into moving on from Slowick. I also think that management probably pressured Nick to tell the coaching staff that some changes need to be made. And they probably looked at Bobby Slowick, given the Q rating that he did not have this past year, especially with the way that the season wrapped up offensively. And this is something that definitely trickled down from the top. But that's a fair argument to make, that Nick Caserio is still running things, though it's in a more collaborative sense than perhaps in years past, where I think many would argue that with David Culley, he was doing everything. Like, for the God's sake, he was making Culley wear a headset and talking to him on it.
Yeah.
Lovie Smith, a little less of that, but still, I think his hands were all over it. His hands still could be all over it. Is that a problem?
Not if it works. And not if D'Amico's on board with it. I mean, if D'Amico's on, if it's a collaboration, it's not a problem.
I mean, we saw a team do this last offseason, and their head coach was farther along and more embattled, and we thought maybe the head coach would get fired, but he had to replace two coordinators that were, there's no obvious ties to him with the two coordinators he hired, and it was believed that they're front office moves. It was when the Philadelphia Eagles hired Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio last season. Now they're in the Super Bowl, and no one's going, what are we sure that this was a good process? Are we sure that this is okay, that they went over the head of Nick Sirianni and made him kind of kiss the ring with to Howie Roseman and let Howie Roseman? No, it's fine. They made the Super Bowl. Like, they're one game away from this working out perfectly in year one. So it really is as simple as, like, as long as it doesn't long-term harm the working relationship between Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, if they're on the same page with this, as long as these guys are good coaches, like, I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah, and if they're not on the same page with it, then one of these guys will get fired. If this doesn't work, if this does not go well,
and this is Balky and Jim Harbaugh,
and these are Caserio's moves, then Caserio will be out, and D'Amico will be the head coach and be part of hiring the GM.
How soon could that happen? Do you think it happens after next season? I feel like
it'd have to be bad next
season. I think it had to be like you had to miss the playoffs pretty significantly to see any like really dramatic changes. Because Caserio still, besides the offensive line, has done a great job with this roster.
And let's be honest, that's why there weren't that many changes made to the coaching staff, too. They've made it to the final eight 2 years in a row with a young quarterback and a young head coach. There was more talent on the team this year, but the schedule was more difficult. So I understand why, for the most part, the coaching staff is the same, but it is really all on Nick Caley and Cole Popovich. There's a part of me that wishes Gerard Johnson had gotten an opportunity maybe elsewhere. This is nothing against Gerard Johnson and what happened this year. I do not think that the quarterback room was the problem. I think that C.J. Stroud and the effect of the offensive line certainly took a step back because of that offensive line. I don't know that you can put the performance on the quarterback coach that much.
I don't think so.
But there is a part of me, and this is selfishly because I know Gerard. There is a part of me that wishes he had gotten an opportunity. And it's interesting that a guy who was a part of the worst unit of the team got promoted in Cole Popovich. It is bizarre.
Yeah.
Being frank.
And then Gerard did not get promoted. And I guess there's still a chance he could leave. Like, I guess he could get the Saints OC job or the Eagles OC job.
Would you want the Saints OC job?
Definitely not. I don't know why Kellen Moore wants the head coach job, to be honest. It's probably one of the worst jobs in the NFL. They have negative $80 million in cap space. They don't have a quarterback. They have an AG running back. They don't have a lot of stars on their team.
Yeah. And
bad spot.
If it is Kellen Moore, which would make sense that the Saints job is the only one still open and 2 days before the Super Bowl, they're probably waiting for a Super Bowl guy to announce as their head coach. If you are Gerard Johnson, do you want to work for an offensive-minded head coach who's probably going to call the plays that you've, to my mind, off the top of my head, have never worked with before?
He never has.
It doesn't seem like a seamless fit.
No, yeah, it's just not totally impossible.
Yeah, I guess there is a 5% chance. Yeah.
But then again, we don't really know.
Or it could not be Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore could Josh McDaniels them at the last second. Goes to the bathroom at? No, it was Jim Irsay went to the bathroom for an hour at Josh McDaniels' house.
Yeah. I kind of feel like Kellen Moore might do that. I would suggest it. Don't take this job, buddy.
There'll be
better ones down the road.
Yo, their GM's been there since 2002.
Yeah.
And I know that Sean Payton's a large reason for how long he's been there, but this guy's firmly entrenched. And I on my live stream, I did a deep dive into one of the interviews he did. The guy's delusional. He's like, I'm comfortable being uncomfortable. And just because the results aren't good doesn't mean the process was bad. It's like, dude, yeah, it does, actually. Yes. After a certain point.
Yeah, look for at your 20 salary years. Cap, I mean, I guess not 20 years. 5 years of being bad.
But, say, Kellen Moore and others leave. I do think, given Gerard Johnson's had an interview with the Eagles before, it's a possibility that the Eagles perhaps bring in Gerard Johnson.
Oh, yeah, it could be more of the domino effect.
Right,
yeah.
But we'll see. For now, this is likely going to be the coaching staff for the Houston Texans going into this year. From the 281, this is anti-Italian discrimination. You can't do this. With Casario's nose, I'm sure he can sniff out the winner. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't even think he has that big of a nose. I think that's just anti-Italian discrimination.
It made me laugh, though. That's a very funny joke.
He doesn't have that big of a nose. It's a nose, but it's not a huge one.
It's not massive.
It's not a schnoz. You know, he's not Streisand out there.
Yeah. Well, this person thinks he clearly is.
Mm. No, this is a normal nose.
Yeah, this is a very normal
Find
nose.
Find a new slant.
That's normal anti. Nose. Yeah, that's anti-Italian discrimination, okay? We don't do that here. All the time. 713-780-3776 to call into text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Seems like there's been some shade thrown at the Houston Rockets. We've also got the 10-minute drill next. Who is the star of Radio Row? It's no one on the Chiefs or Eagles. It's a guy that used to be a quarterback not too long ago. Now he's a goofball. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Only a few days away from Super Bowl Licks. Should always be called that, because that's what the Roman numerals spell out. Not from a numerical sense, from a phonetic sense. Okay, guys, the prices of Super Bowl tickets more affordable. We touched on this earlier. Now you'll actually hear the defined details. January 27th. Imagine if you bought these tickets for nosebleed January 27th, right after the Super Bowl was determined. They were $6,375 January 27th. Last Friday, they were $5,860. The lowest ticket right now is $4,339.
Okay. I'm looking at an app here to not be named.
Yeah.
I see.
Sponsor us if you want to be named.
4,000.
Okay.
So keep going down.
Hell yeah, brother. Climb on.
Paul, have you been? You've been to a Super Bowl, right?
Super Bowl 39 in Jacksonville, yes.
Okay, so that was as a fan, too.
Arguably the worst per many Super Bowl location ever because they didn't have enough hotels and everyone had to stay in cruise ships.
Yikes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But as far as
Boston and Philadelphia, there was a ton of people.
Did you stay
there.
On a cruise ship?
No, we drove from St. Pete to Jacksonville and back that day. So it was a 4-hour drive there, 4-hour drive back. And I had to go to school the next day, too.
Yeah,
no!
Yeah. We got back at 4:30, and I went to school still that day. It was a long day.
But as far as your the in-game watching experience, like, how is a Super Bowl in-game? Because I feel like it could be... You could talk me into it's either really awesome or it's actually really overrated.
It feels just like any other game.
Huh.
It really does.
So it's not like... Okay, so it is loud.
In person, I mean... Look, it was interesting. From my perspective, it was the first time I'd gone to a game where there were more fans of the other team than the team I was rooting for. Because it was probably like 2/3 or more Eagles fans. Mm-hmm. And it was fun, don't get me wrong. But outside of Paul McCartney at halftime, them turning off the lights and giving everyone these little candles that you could squeeze, like these little flashlight candles, and you wave it back and forth. Outside of that, it felt like any other game. It really did.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like a bucket list item or not.
Yeah, that's why I asked, is that like, should the tickets for the game be that much more expensive than a regular game? Because you're not really, the only difference is that you're going to get a halftime show, which also is built for TV and not for you in the stadium.
Being in New Orleans on top of it, that...
I'm sure that's cool.
...could be a little extra, but... Yeah, from the experience perspective, it would make more sense for a stadium that isn't...
Yeah.
Let's be honest about the Superdome. Pretty old at best, if not a bleep hole.
Like, if the Patriots... I mean, I guess the Patriots did make, like, 7 more after that, so never mind. I was going to say, would you ever want to go to another one? And I realized you had
plenty of
opportunity.
I thought about 51 here in town, but...
Yeah, and that one's... What, 10 minutes from your house and you still said no?
Yeah, I still said no.
Pricey, I'm sure.
Or I could have gone and gotten a credential, but I would have had to sit in a room and I wouldn't have been able to actually see
the auxiliary box.
Yeah, the auxiliary
box. Yeah, I mean,
box.
I remember I was here. I remember, like, AJ finding out that his credential was for a tent in a parking lot.
Ah!
Really?
Because there was so many credential people.
Wait, for what event?
For the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl 51, Patriots Falcons.
Yeah, like, You got, like, post-game access and pre-game access, but, like, your actual, like, credential, that's like, did not get you into a press box or anything. It had you in a tent in the parking lot.
All that to say, I don't think it's... If you get to go, great. Don't pay top dollar for it unless your team is in it and you've never seen your team in it before.
I think I'd want to go to the second one. Like, even though you might never get that one, like, I think I'd want to, like, watch a Super Bowl with, like, my dad.
Like, that would be cool.
And I did, but like I was so young. But like I want to like watch like my friends and family,
you know,
and stuff first. I think
that actually is what it would be for me because I didn't see it with my dad. I saw it with my stepdad. My dad had taken me to a million Patriots games as a kid, and my stepdad took me to this. My stepdad's an Eagles fan, and it was really funny walking into the stadium. The amount of times that people with a thick Philadelphian accent ask, "Hey, what's the deal with your R-word son?" I got called R-worded, Broussarded several times on the way into the stadium.
That's funny.
It was pretty funny. I laughed. I thought it was funny.
So he was wearing Eagle
He was wearing
stuff.
A McNabb jersey, and I was wearing a Troy Brown Patriots jersey. Yes.
Troy Brown?
Yeah.
Nice pull.
Troy Brown was my favorite player. Still kind of is. I mean, Tom Brady obviously was Tom Brady. But Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady then. Tom Brady was like the Troy Aikman captaining the ship. And he became... Anyway, too much Patriots porn here. Jameis Winston has been the star of Super Bowl week. Rather uneventful Super Bowl week. He works for Fox Sports now, and there's a part of me that would wonder how he'd do in the booth for the Super Bowl broadcast, especially given how many people are not a fan of Tom Brady. It would be all over the place. Definitely a Nickelodeon broadcast, I think, Hall of Famer, first ballot.
Let's start him with SpongeBob and Patrick before he put him next to Tom Brady.
People weren't sure about Joe Mixon getting interviewed. Should Jameis, with his history, should be on the Nickelodeon broadcast?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Just look the other way. He's funny.
Yeah, don't make the same mistakes I did, kids. Pay for your crab legs.
Is Mr. Crab going to be there?
He wasn't on the Nickelodeon broadcast.
If it was
he wasn't on the Texans game.
That joke would 100% be made.
Oh. Jameis and Mr. Crab doing the Nickelodeon broadcast.
Would at the very least, a throwaway joke about why Mr. Krabs isn't here.
Yeah. Jameis asked Saquon Barkley who should sign him.
Hey, one more question, Saquon. One more question. In this free agency, man, I'm a free agent. I don't really don't got no job. Who should sign me in free agency?
I think New York needs a little bit right
now. New York? Who? Okay, brother. Thank you.
He said the Jets. It's kind of insulting, right?
I could.
It's like, oh, they'll take you.
Yeah.
A little insulting.
You know, hey, maybe a starting spot.
More from Jameis at Super Bowl week. Here he is asking Devontae Smith a very important question.
Devonta, we know we're here for the Super Bowl, baby. We know you born right down the street. There's so many stakes on this game, man, and I know you're ready for it. I can look it in your eyes. But the question that we all want to know is, what's your favorite color?
Pink.
Pink. Oh, my gosh. Pink toes. Ooh. Pink toes. Let me tell you something about pink toes, all right? Run away from the pink toes. All right, my wife's favorite color is pink toes, all right? She loves them pink toenails. Right? I just want to give you your flowers, man. You earned every step of the way. You my Heisman brother, man. Let me just give you a W, brother. Can I give you a W?
For sure.
Catch this W.
You threw him a W-shaped cookie.
I appreciate you, brother. Make sure you eat that.
Okay, so.
A lot to get to there.
Really,
he crazily insulted his wife there.
Yeah, it sounded like he's a little bummed out about being tied down.
He said, stay away from pink toes. And then he said, my wife likes her pink toes.
I'd also take that as he's a foot guy.
You definitely, him and Rex Ryan.
They got something in common.
That could have been the Jets combo.
Damn, it could have been. That would have been so good.
That someone says, my favorite color is pink. And your first reaction is, watch out for pink toes. That's crazy.
Man, Jameis Winston and Rex Ryan. I mean, that could have been a 1% possibility.
Honestly,
get
I think
Rob
this,
Ryan in there, too.
The Jets were still
we'll hear from him later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rob Ryan in garbage time. Stay tuned.
I think I just need a Jameis and Rex podcast now.
Jameis and anybody podcast. Yeah. Jameis and a microphone. That's all I need. Listen, he should be a NFL quarterback for as long as he can be, and he should be on a team next season. The second he's no longer good enough to be an NFL quarterback, he has to be working in media.
Because I don't think he's a studio guy. He's too out of control to be. Like Fox and CBS would never put him next to like JJ. He's too out of control.
How about...
That is very a funny pairing, though. JJ Watt and Jameis Winston. That is a buddy cop comedy.
That would be funny. No, I have an idea. I mean, there's only one show without a co-host. How about Dell and Jameis? Because Dell is a Miami fan and hates Florida State. Yeah. Dell is so serious. Jameis is so goofy. I mean, that's actually a real buddy cop. I think that show would work.
I think it would, too.
Joe, you got it in the budget? Middle management Joe?
Let's see if I can find out how much
Dell and Jameis.
Yeah.
I think Jameis has to go first.
He'd bring sponsors.
I think it has to be Jameis and
Dell. Jameis and Dell?
No offense to Dell.
Oof. That's going to be a tough sell, I think. I think that's where it
falls apart. It was Raheel and Dell at one point. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Dell and Raheel, so.
Well, no, but now Dell's
but
the captain now.
Now he's established.
Dell has to be first. Jameis, he's got to earn his stripes.
It's Jameis.
Who's Batman? Well, who's Robin? Dell's Batman.
We need.
Who's going to drive
it's
the show?
It's more like Batman and the Joker.
It is Batman and the Joker. It is Batman and the Joker in more ways than one. Dell would be the driver, so it has to be Dell and Jameis.
Hi, this is Jameis Winston here for Crab Legs. Kids, don't steal them. One last one to wrap up the 10-minute drill. James Harrison and Chad Johnson were on Shannon Sharpe's Nightcap. I guess online in early October, these two agreed to fight one another at some point. Yeah. They discussed this with Shannon Sharpe and another person who I do not know in the room. And things got actually heated. But this line from James Harrison to Chad Johnson was my favorite moment of a 5-minute exchange where I wasn't sure if they were blustering or actually beefing.
I accepted my Lord and Savior in August of this past year, man. I was baptized.
You are?
Yeah.
Well, mine went off. I got to get baptized. See,
what you about to make me do is go totally outside what I said I was
going to do. Of your character, right?
No. Listen, man. I think I might. I've been trying to hold this thing inside of me for a long time. Because ever since I got, fined by Roger Goodell for $75,000, I've been wanting to kill somebody. I think you might be the person.
That's
I think
fine.
God done brought you
that's
to
fine. That's fine.
That's what
that's fine. Whatever you want to do.
You know?
Matter of fact, if you beat me, I add a $75,000 to your purse if you beat me. How about that?
Damn.
So you get your money back. That's how serious I am.
Oh, you gonna give me that?
I give it back.
You might as well just write that right now.
Kiss the babies.
Chad, what are you doing, man?
So, James Harrison, Harrison said he's out of shape, but they also told Chad, you probably need to gain some weight.
Yeah, that is the whole, could
Harrison
James
isn't
Harrison,
tall for what it's worth, but yeah. He is definitely built.
Could he last 30. More than one round without gassing out?
Yeah, and Chad Johnson has done at least celebrity boxing before. I forgot how it went for him, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But he has experience in the ring. James Harrison, I'd assume, maybe this is unfair to him, has more experience, I would say, fighting outside of a ring. But I think he has more total fighting experience, but it might have been in a parking lot or in a backyard somewhere, as opposed to Chad Johnson in a, I guess, sanctioned fight.
We shall see.
I think I'll take James.
You think? I will.
Yeah. James, I mean, what are we talking
about?
Well,
we just don't know, what kind of shape he'd show up in. We're like, Chad...
James scares me. I'm scared of James.
Yeah, I feel like he's like the Hulk, where the more you hit him, just the angrier he gets. It won't hurt him. He just gets more and more angry.
Speaking of getting angry, Dennis Schroeder.
Did he get traded again?
He's going to the Pistons.
Wait, he got traded again?
Wait, listen to this. Being rerouted per Chris Haynes.
Like mid-flight?
He's catching a connecting flight.
Yeah, he had to act up and get the flight attendants to turn the plane around. Damn. Schroeder's been traded 3 times.
And there's still 15 minutes left. He might get traded again.
It is turning into modern
Detroit
slavery.
Detroit is acquiring Dennis Schroeder from Utah.
That is pretty funny. I mean, the timing of that quote, literally the day before.
I think he's been traded now 5 times in the last calendar year.
For sure.
Because he was traded at last year's deadline.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Those Germans, you can't trust them. Can't trust them as far as you can throw them. Come on, why are you guys laughing? You can't trust a German.
You're right.
What happened? We trusted him after World War I. Whoops. Our bad. Hey, it's Stallone and Georgie's Joe and Paul. Let's roll right through.
If we're going to roll through, then the Rockets did make a trade.
They did. Hit us.
It's a nothing burger.
Oh.
They traded for a player who hasn't played this season.
Oh!
But the Atlanta Hawks and the deals they've made today need to unload some roster spots. So the Rockets are acquiring Cody Zeller.
Oh, yeah!
And they're getting back a 2028 second-round pick that they'd already given to Atlanta. So they're getting that back. But Cody Zeller has been away from the team the entire year for personal reasons.
Okay.
So
he might be retired.
Maybe he'll play for the Rockets, but this... It feels like they're just doing Atlanta some kind of favor here and getting a pick.
It seems like they're just acquiring picks, but that's important. Yeah. So we've got 12 minutes until the NBA trade deadline is official, and the two moves the Rockets have made, Tyler Zeller, Jaden Springer, and they've also acquired 2 second-round picks and have a pick swap now with Boston in the second round also.
Boom.
Hey, listen.
Asset management.
You can find players in the second round.
If you're a team that's willing... Or not willing to spend money, has money open and available, you can get some picks at the deadline for all these teams that are either trying to cut salary or cut roster spots as these trades go on. So I'm glad Rafael Stone's phone is still working, even despite, 12 minutes left, not making a big deal.
We'll talk more about this at 2 o'clock. Let's... Really quickly dive into what Astros GM Dana Brown had to say in a special edition of Are You Down with Dana Brown?
You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see.
Dana Brown at the Astros media luncheon weighed in on a variety of different things. He spoke about Alex Bregman in the past tense. That was the subject of a lot of conversation on this show this week. But Dana Brown also talked about the possibility of Altuve in left field. He said he's not committing to anything with Altuve in left to open things up when he was first asked about the change possibility.
You know, look, we're not committing to anything in terms of him playing left field. But, you know, if we can create some versatility, I think it's a good thing for the club. And the fact that, you know, he's willing to go out there and he's having fun with it is exciting.
He's having fun with it, Paul?
He's deferring more to Joe Espada. This is not Dana Brown about to speak right now, but this is what Joe Espada had to say about how Altuve looks in left field. Not going to lie, doesn't make me feel great.
I'm more excited about the feedback than what it actually looks like, which actually looks really good. But the feedback from Hosey is important. You know, we owe this to Hosey how, you know, he's a Hall of Fame second baseman. He's a Hall of Fame player. But he wants to open the doors for us to how can we improve our team. And he's willing to go to left field for us to open the doors to ways for us to be creative and help us win. So I don't want to commit to number of games Hosey in left. I don't want to commit to Hosey, you know, more than that he is being willing to do whatever it takes for us to win.
Basically, in that answer, what I heard from Joe Espada is I don't want to see him out there that much, and we appreciate Altuve and his attempt to try to help the Astros win as much as possible. But to say you're more excited about the feedback than what it actually looks like, and then clarifying, correcting yourself, saying, pretty good. I'm writing that down. I'm taking that as a note.
What if it means we know he sucks at second, and I'm glad he's excited about the idea of playing left field?
I think that's more of it. That's how I read it, is that he's happy that Altuve's at least open to this.
Yeah. Like we
more so than whether he's good or not. He's like, I'm just glad that this is on the table.
He's a good teammate, unlike Derek Jeter, who wasn't a terrible good shortstop anymore and refused to move to third base, even though Alex Rodriguez was the premier shortstop in every single way back in the day. People don't talk about that enough, or the fact that he had one vote. He was one vote away from being unanimous Hall of Famer. Mariano Rivera, right, who's also, interesting. Mariano Rivera, some things. Ty Cobb had some things, too. He didn't get unanimous Hall of Fame votes. Making it about Derek Jeter for just a moment. Nomar Garcia-Parra had better career numbers than Derek Jeter. People don't talk about that enough, but one vote away from unanimous in the Hall of Fame. Okay, fine. To bring it back to Jose Altuve moving to left field. Yes, being a good teammate. Here's Dana Brown talking about Jose Altuve. He has a completely different answer. He thinks it looks amazing, and he also humble brags along the way.
So I walked out one day, saw him taking some fly balls, and me being a scout from coming out of a scouting background, I was like, look, this guy looks pretty good out there. And we all know he could run, and I just saw the fun and joy on his face like a little kid. You know, he was out there having some fun, so that's always a good thing.
Sounds like Dana Brown did some scouting of the Texans this year.
Yeah.
Texans said, have some fun.
CJ Stroud loves that.
Astros, having some fun.
F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere, anytime at all, including at second base and in left field. Boom.
Have fun.
One last thing from Dana Brown, who called Cam Smith an aircraft carrier. The guy had so many good things to say about Cam Smith.
We see him as a guy that could really carry a team in the middle of the lineup. So he's got big-time power. He's a big human being. He's got great makeup, and he comes to play. So he loves playing baseball. And so we have really promising future with him.
And what about his makeup tells you that he's capable of leading a batting order?
Yeah, the very intense and really good aptitude. Like, very, very good aptitude. Listens well, takes instructions,
can follow through. Got a chance to watch him do some baseball activities down at the complex in West Palm a couple weeks ago. And very impressed to be up that close to him. And just to see how big he is. He's a massive dude.
He is a big guy.
He's an aircraft carrier.
Aircraft carrier sized. Dana Brown also a smaller guy, so all relative.
I mean, but he's comping him to other baseball players.
True, that's fair.
Not to himself.
And to a device / machine that was used to transport planes.
I know, but maybe we need to do like aircraft carrier or not. Across Houston sports.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, we could do that. Maybe we do that in the last hour of the show. So here is what we ask about. Are we down with what Dana Brown is saying about Altuve in left field, or are we more down with Joe Espada? And I think a little slip up there.
Yeah, I'm a little more down with Joe Espada there.
I do too. I'm not expecting much. Yeah. I think that Todd makes a good point on the Twitch, Todd the Show, saying, hey, like, you could put Altuve out there when you got a ground ball pitcher throwing, so that it limits, hopefully, the balls that go to the outfield. And you do have a couple of those guys, but yeah, I'm not expecting a lot. I get it. Like, it should be easier than second base, but it's still a totally different thing.
Yeah. So, like, that's when Hunter Brown, I guess, and Fromber are on the mound.
Yeah.
Like, that's when Altuve is in left.
That to me, this is all about how many games of left fielder Jose Altuve are we actually talking? Mm-hmm. Are we talking?
Ooh, over under 30?
Yeah. I was going to say 40. I was just doing 20 starts for both those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he might only do that at home.
Knowing the Astros, one of those guys will have Tommy John surgery.
Hey, don't put that on. Don't put that evil on.
What? That's the only evil we know. Yeah. It's like a yearly thing.
Still.
But like, if Altuve's only going to play left at home when those guys are on the mound, like,
then that's like 20 starts.
I still think it's the long-term plan to put him in left, and this is just the soft launch into it. Mm. But if you think Dubon's a better fielder, then maybe they'll do it more often, and he'll be out there a lot at home.
So they're soft launching Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last one, are you down with Dana Brown saying Cam Smith is the truth, essentially? I'm wishfully saying yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. I'm bummed he's not in Chicago, so I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're at this phase of the prospect journey with this guy where you just traded Kyle Tucker for this guy. You got to say he's awesome.
I mean, I've never heard aircraft carrier before as a term.
I haven't either.
Now, neither have
I. Jeremy Booth yesterday was like, yeah, everyone says
that. Yeah, that was my favorite.
All right.
But for that reason, my favorite part of the entire interview. Booth was awesome. But him just being like, yeah, aircraft carrier.
Like, it's a thing. It is?
Is it only with big guys?
I don't know, man.
That's what, because he made it seem like it was more about your stature in the lineup and like being a good offensive player. I also think you have to be big to be an aircraft carrier. We can talk about it more later.
Like, Altuve doesn't qualify.
No, but he's a better hitter than Cam Smith.
Yeah.
But he's not an aircraft carrier.
He's small.
He's a little guy.
That's fair. Cam Smith, 6'3", 224 pounds.
Dana Brown listed at 5'9 from his playing days.
I don't believe that he's 5'9".
Whoa.
Playing days? Isn't he good?
He played in college.
Ooh. That's why Jim Crane hired him.
Yeah.
He isn't a nerd like James Click. Mm. He played college baseball. Kalon and George, he's Joe, I'm Paul. The NBA trade deadline. It will be upon us when we return. Have the Rockets one more move left in them? Kevin Durant? Devin Booker? We're waiting with bated breath. Stick around. ESPN Houston.